Here's a longtime NFLer, friend of the show. We haven't had him on in a long time.
West Coast Mitch.
Is that what his nickname is?
Yes.
Mitch Berger joining us. What's up, Mitch?
Well, I just was, as you were talking, it's funny. I'm on a bearskin rug wearing a fake mustache doing a Burt Reynolds right now.
Nice. How's this hit going to go for you?
It's a little itchy.
Well, have you ever come across that in the NFL? Like anyone that has a cocktail before the game to loosen up?
I mean, I've played with a few guys, and in the preseason, I've had a few cocktails still in my body from the night before sneaking out. Does that count?
Yeah, that would count.
Yeah, then I definitely am the culprit. I'm the guilty party.
Well, I mean, we're glad to have you on here because we were talking a lot about kickers in the NFL yesterday. And
boy, they're stinking, aren't they?
It was brutal. And two guys getting
coached, too, was just like, do you watch the game? Well, that's why he's cut.
Yeah, I mean, it's unbelievable. I mean, the punters seem to be getting better and better. Mm-hmm. I mean, the averages that they have, I can't even touch the average. I mean, it's unbelievable. The stats, like guys are netting 50, like 15 guys a year are netting 50 yards. When I played, I was the first player to even get close to netting 50 yards. I was like 40 yards, and I was netting 39 something. And now everybody, like half the guys do it. And it's like back then you'd be all pro, all world. It's unbelievable. But these field goal kickers, they're unbelievable. I mean, they can't even hit chip shots. They can't hit extra points. And it seems everything fazes them. And from what I can tell, they got a lot of new young guys in there. They're getting rid of these old guys that are dependable for these young guys, and these young guys just aren't cutting.
Some of those kickers, they know driving to the field that what's coming up, right? I mean, it should be no shock to them when they get there and someone says, so-and-so wants to meet you.
You mean as far as getting cut?
Oh, yeah.
You know, I don't know if the young guys know. It depends maybe who their snapper are and the punter and their coach, and depends on what kind of stress the team's got. They could prepare you for that sort of thing or not. I know when I was in Denver, I didn't have a great game against DeSean Jackson, and Josh McDaniel, who's one of the worst head coaches I've ever had, they had a new punter come in, and I didn't know he was in there until they asked him to introduce himself during the team meeting. So I had no clue that they were going to replace me until the guy stood up in front of me and says, hey, I'm the new punter. And I'm like, oh, we got a new punter. Okay, that sounds good. So it just really depends on what team you're on and what kind of class level they have. And, yeah, these young guys, though, they might not know what hit them because they might figure you can miss that early and the team's going to stick with you. But when you're a playoff or a Super Bowl contender, they don't go for that stuff. My rookie year in Philadelphia, I was playing for Rich Kotite, Randall Cunningham, all those guys. We were 4-1, just beat the 49ers to death. And they said, we're a Super Bowl contender. And I had a few punts that weren't great. And they cut me the next day and said, we can't have any more on the job training. We need a veteran in here. They brought Brian Barker in, and it took me 6 cuts in 2 years to get back in the NFL after that.
Wow. So you're watching on the weekend. I don't know if you're tracking it, Zane Gonzalez, and he has a rough couple of weeks. I mean, looking at the mechanics, if you were to break it down, like, is that all on him, or was his holder, or is it a snap? Is there anything that could defend him a little bit in this situation?
Well, in the first game, the weather was really bad, so that one's tough. I mean, you see Ben's got, 500 interceptions or whatever he threw, and the guy's going to be a Hall of Famer. So, some of it's the weather, and it's kind of unlucky to play in a game that bad right off the bat. But in this next game, you can't say that at all. You're sitting there in a dome. It's kicks you're expected to make. And, anybody who's golfing who's listening, it's exactly like golf. It's 90% in your head. It's 10% in your body. It's just all about trying to find a way to put yourself on the driving range or on the practice field and making the kicks feel like that rather than all the pressure of the world coming on you. And young guys, sometimes it takes a while to get through that. And sometimes you can be lucky, early in your career, you can just have a couple chip shots. You can have a couple extra points, and that's all you have to hit. Whereas extra points used to be gimmies. Now, extra points are, a little bit longer chip shots. So they're not just gimme kicks that you can duff and they still go in. But what you want is some early, easy kicks, maybe some blowouts, or your team's getting blowout to where you're not hitting game winners. You get a chance to get in the league. Some of it is luck. Right off the bat, when you got to hit a 48-yarder or a long one, like the guy in Minnesota has to hit a 46-yarder or whatever it was, and a longer game winner from 52, and those are the kicks you have to hit. You got to hit those as a pro, but many times I've seen guys go in, they got to hit 30-yarders, 28-yarders, 40-yarders. It's a lot. Kicks, and sometimes it's just the luck of the draw that you're not getting really the kicks that go with you as well, as far as the opportunities. So these guys, it's just a perfect storm of bad luck, but also bad kicking. And what happens, there's a lot of veterans ready to take your job. And to be honest, being a Minnesota Viking guy and a huge Vikings fan, I love seeing Dan Bailey. Dan Bailey, to me, is as good as there is in the world kicking a football. I don't know why he doesn't have a job, but they just signed him in Minnesota. And to me, that guy's going to make a couple games difference for the Minnesota Vikings. That's how good I think he is.
With longtime NFLer, our TSN football analyst, Mitch Berger, you're a former Steeler as well. You won a Super Bowl with them. You're familiar with Roethlisberger and Tomlin,
oh, yeah,
and that whole organization, and now it feels like they're in the midst of a very toxic environment because Le'Veon Bell is still holding out. Now Antonio Brown isn't showing up for practice, and his agent's coming out and trying to explain it, but I think making it worse, quite frankly. What is up with Pittsburgh, and do you feel like they're starting to really unravel and potentially falling off a cliff?
Well, part of that is the great genius of Mike Tomlin is he's able to deal with a lot of personalities. When we won the Super Bowl, he dealt with a lot of personalities, including mine, and pulled all the right triggers and helped us win a bunch of games where I think he made a lot of right moves as well. Now they've gotten themselves a bunch of superstars, and these superstars, you know, they believe all the hype. The Pittsburgh Steeler thing used to be, I'm going to take a little less to play for Pittsburgh. I'm going to be humble. I'm going to be happy that I'm here. I want to be a Pittsburgh Steeler. I'm going to take less. I want to be part of the team, part of the organization. That helps keep you there if you're injured or if you're not playing quite as well. If you're not making quite as much money, there's room on both sides of that. But when you're a superstar and you want superstar money, you get superstar treatment. Antonio Brown sees some of these other receivers in the league, Deshaun Jackson leading the league, all this. He's not happy. He's only got 160 yards after two games. They scored all these points. He doesn't feel like he's gotten the ball enough. He sees another guy sitting out that's a star on the team. I'm sure they're good friends. It's just a lot of guys, they say, well, they want to win. You know, these guys are divas. These superstar receivers, running backs, a lot of these guys, they're not all like that. You know, Jerome Bettis wouldn't be doing this for the Pittsburgh Steelers. But they got some guys who are divas, and you got to keep them happy. And Mike Tomlin's got his hands full right now. He's got to lay down the law a little bit. He might have to chop ahead in the next few weeks. I don't know who it would be, but maybe just say, you know what, but we don't want you back. You know, whatever it is, he might have to step up and doing something. But I know that he gets real friendly with some of the top players, and at some point here, he's going to have to make something happen in the background to make this team look like a team, because the Pittsburgh Steelers, to me, were the best organization, the most functional team, not dysfunctional team I ever was on. And now they look like the poster boys for what you don't want to have, a bunch of stars that don't play together.
Ever think about retiring halfway through a game?
God, that guy to me, Devontae Davis, he pulled the biggest no-no you ever can pull in team sports. I mean, the fact is, in football, you count on these guys. You work with them all week. You look at coverages. You got to cover this guy. This guy's got to cover. You got to have this guy's back if he's, you know, covering a guy and, you know, you got the flat and this guy's rushing, whatever it is. All these different things. This is a coordination of defensive players all week long. Everybody's got each other's back. Just because it doesn't go well, I mean, your team's not very good. They're not playing very well. But the fact that he does it at halftime and just drop out on his team, I know that he's getting no respect, no love, and no support around this league from anybody. And I can't see a coach that would want to pick this guy up if he changes his mind and decides that, hey, maybe I want to go play for a contender, or maybe I do love this sport and I just had a bad week. He went about it, for a guy that's such a long veteran, he went about it the absolute wrong way, something he should never do, and he should be embarrassed and ashamed of himself.
It would be interesting if he tried to get back into the league, how that would be.
I hope he doesn't get slammed in the face. Are you telling me Devontae Davis should be, you know, give that guy a shot, but don't give Colin Kaepernick a shot?
Well, no kidding. I mean, you can use so many different examples when it comes to Kaepernick. Look at Josh Gordon. I mean, Gordon has been suspended. He's missed something like 58 games over the last 3 or 4 years.
You know what I heard about Colin Kaepernick, though? I played in the charity tournament this summer. I don't really want to say my source, but it's a very big NFL source. A guy that's in the media now says that he knows for a fact that Colin Kaepernick, a couple of his tryouts he's had with Seattle, he's lost like 40 pounds. Apparently he's like a vegan now, and he doesn't have that muscular build. He's totally scrawny. He's nothing like he was when he was playing. So the fact is, he's gone to a tryout or two, and he doesn't look or throw it or do anything like he used to. Part of the reason why he's not getting a job is because he doesn't look like a football player anymore. He's like totally just gone off the rocker as far as wanting to just go on his social injustice stuff. And I get it and all that, but this guy doesn't want to physically be a football player, so he's kind of digging his own grave with that.
Well, that'll be interesting if the NFL brings that to the table, because they're going to the courts, right? Like this collusion case continues.
I'd like to say, what was your playing weight? What's your weight now? You know, right. What do you bench? What do you bench now? Like, are you training like an NFL player who really wants to be here? They should use that. they really should.
Well, I'm sure you heard about this Hall of Fame story that came out today, the Pro Football Hall of Famers. Very strange timing, because they were just in Canton like 6 weeks ago, and now they've sent out a statement stating that the Hall of Famers, or a lot of them anyway, are not going to show up next year and won't be showing up again unless they receive benefits from the league and they receive salaries from the league. And they detailed...
The league's going to say, then don't come.
Well, here's the thing. You're right in terms of the salaries. Like, I don't see how the league is going to be like, we're just going to start paying you. Obviously, like, my radar starts going off about what they learned 6 weeks ago and who got to them and said, hey, you're not going to believe how much money they're making off Canton and the Hall of Fame. And they referenced them, you know, developing the Hall of Fame and pumping $1 billion into it. Someone got to a player or players and said, you're not going to believe how much money they're making or how much money's going into this, and you guys aren't getting a penny.
Right.
The problem is the divide between recent players going in and how much money they made in their career and guys who played in the 60s and 70s and 80s, because Kurt Warner came out today already and said, hey, I didn't agree to put my name on this, because he's sitting there saying, man, I probably made 60, 70 million in my career. I'm still working at NFL Network, probably making 2-3 million a year. I don't need a salary from the league.
Right.
But, you know, old school players, I understand why they're rattled, and I get the whole benefits thing and them wanting benefits, but a salary, I don't see that happening. I mean, that's not going to happen anytime soon.
Well, maybe they just threw all that out there, hoping that, you know, get the benefit, you don't get the salary, it's a win. You know what I mean? Like, ask for more than you can get and, you know, settle for less and be happy. And I understand, believe me, from the time that I got in the league, it's funny, I had this conversation a lot with people. I have it right now. The best punters in the league make almost $4 million a year. I made 1.2. I was the highest paid punter in NFL history. My rookie year, I made 96,000. And now the minimum's like 500. I mean, it just... And when I got in, the guys I took out were like, God, you guys make so much money. I remember, I had to work two jobs when I first got in the league and, you know, blah, blah, we were smoking cigarettes and drinking beers in the locker and, you know, all the stories and stuff. I get it. This league is making the money it has now. Without those guys, those building blocks, it doesn't happen. But the fact is, it is where it is right now. The rules were the way that they were. I like the fact, you know, I like the fact that they're sticking together, because they know they got friends and teammates and guys who are suffering. Guys who, you know, they put their bodies on the line, and some of them can't, you know, they can't keep a job. Life is difficult for an NFL player who's retired. And believe me, I know it myself, you know, for 8 years trying to figure out what you're going to do with yourself. And, you know, luckily I was good with my money and, you know, life has gone good for me. But there's, you know, I know a lot of guys that that's not the case, going, you know, from the guys at the start all the way to guys that I played with. And they deserve to get some of this money. There's, but I also understand that they don't want to give them any. You know, any other job, any other company. You know, when Amazon started, the people, you know, worked the first couple months compared to the guys that are making salaries now, or Microsoft, or whatever. You don't get money from before you actually from what the company has become. You get the money during the time that you're in it. The money it pays now, you can go do something else. Go be a doctor. Go be a lawyer. Go dig a ditch. Do whatever you want. You don't have to play football. So these are these guys' choices. It's not their right to get this money, but the NFL could look at how much money we got, how much money we've made. We built the league on these guys' shoulders, and they could do the right thing. And I think doing the right thing means upping everybody's benefits, upping the money for the people who are injured, the people who are having a hard time getting through life. That's the right thing to do. Giving them salaries now and all that kind of stuff, I mean, come on. That's just crazy.
Thank you, Mitch. Really appreciate it, buddy. We'll do it again down the road.
Anytime, boys. You know it. West Coast Mitch is out.
You got it. There he is, Mitch Berger, joining us here.
He's great.
He's awesome.
And he is.